Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what that means? It's time for Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. First, though, we were summing up the Steelers' season in five words or less and thought we had hit on all the good ones, but I got a couple tweets. One was... The Steelers are becoming the Pirates. That's a good one, isn't it, Donnie? And the next one really hurts, I think. The Steelers is the Steelers.
Little Juju.
Little Juju Smith-Schuster right there. Yes. Ray, how are you today?
Good, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Can you think of one on the spot, summing up this Steelers season in five words or less, or just the state of the franchise in general?
When is the draft?
That's a good one. I like it. Ray, I don't know if you saw Marlon Humphrey's quote the other day. He was on his Punchline podcast when he alluded to perhaps some issues in the locker room here. Najee Harris said after the game, he essentially said it's a fractured locker room. When you say the media, sometimes the teams let the media break them up and we listen to the media, you're pretty much saying we're fractured. Here's what Humphrey said. He compared this situation to the Jets, where he said, I hear the quotes coming out. It's like they're trying to speak in code, and there's something they want to say that they just can't say, Humphrey said. And then he says, it seems like how the Steelers kind of played in that game against us. It's like, ... And then he finishes by saying, and I know something that I ain't going to say. What does he know, Ray? What's happening in that locker room, especially on the defensive side?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Marlon Humphrey knows. I know he's probably got a lot of friends in that locker room, Deshaun Elliott and Patrick Queen included. I'm sure he knows other guys, you know, from his days at LSU. I don't want to guess what he knows, but I do know things were broken by the end of the season. You know, their defensive identity was pretty much – you know, shredded by every team. I think they lost confidence. And, you know, we heard some stuff late in the season. You know, Minka said we're getting schemed up. And, you know, there were some other things that that were said. So, yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're losing, things kind of go off the rails. And I think that's what happened to the Steelers.
Ray, staying on the defensive side of the ball, when should we expect to hear, if ever, any coaching decisions on that side from Terrell Austin all the way down?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quiet down there this week. And that's not all that unusual, Donnie. You know, Tomlin does all the player exit interviews this week. They're probably finishing up that on Fridays, or excuse me, today. And then sometimes, you know, that stuff with the coaches spills in into next week or the week after. As far as Austin goes, he's under contract. Pat Meyer is under contract. I think we'll probably hear some stuff on some other guys who are not under contract, but I'm not hearing anything right now. Like I said, this week was fairly quiet down there, and I do not expect you know, anything today either.
So what would be an example of a significant change? Because I don't think Terrell Austin moving on so Tomlin can bring in another figurehead coordinator would qualify as a big change.
Yeah.
I see Justin Fields as the quarterback, Tomlin as the head coach, Artie as the coordinator, yep. Omar Khan as the GM, and Art as the owner or the president. So where should I be looking for a big change?
Well, you know, listen, can they make a move like they made with Brian Flores a couple years ago? I'm just throwing out some names now because I know these guys lost jobs this year. But let's say Lou Anarumo from the Bengals. Maybe you hire him as a defensive consultant. Robert Saleh, formerly of the Jets, really good DC in his days with the 49ers. Maybe you talk him into becoming your associate head coach. I think we could all agree, you know, whether guys come back or not. I agree with you. I think Austin's probably going to come back. But I do think they need some fresh ideas. And I think they need somebody to come in, take a look at what they're doing and say, okay, yeah, I get that, but maybe why don't you try this? So I think they need a new, fresh set of eyes on the thing. And I think if they do anything, it could be along those lines.
Ray, we also know that their coaching staff is always one of, if not the smallest in the NFL, and beyond the head coach, one of the cheapest staffs in the NFL. So why is it that they don't try to invest more into the coaching side of the ball? Because you see it clearly work with a lot of other teams. Hell, just look at the other side of the state, for example.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a question every year. The Steelers never really, you know, have that. You know, they're always one of the smaller coaching staffs in the league. You know, I think a lot of guys, you know, you saw they kept Mike Sullivan this year. So, you know, they didn't get rid of him. So sometimes they'll keep guys who were under contract. Yeah, but for the most part, they're not going to have 32 coaches on their staff. Donnie, there are probably college teams in the college football playoff who have more coaches than the Steelers. That's just the way the Rooneys have always done it, and I don't really expect that to change. But I do think what I said, adding a guy, maybe spending some money on a former head coach to come in, I do think that's possible because they've done that in the past.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. You can communicate with our friend Limits on there. It's a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. He's on the fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, Ray, you can play the role of odds maker here. Give me your top three favorites to be the Steelers quarterback next year. You could name a college player. You could name a free agent. You could a trade. Just your top three candidates to be the Steelers quarterback next year.
To be the Steelers starting quarterback. Okay,
yep.
I'll go number one in the odds, Justin Fields. Number two in the odds, Russell Wilson. And then number three, guys, I mean, I'm not really on like the whole Sam Darnold thing or, you know, trading for anyone or anything like that. So I'd just be throwing out a name for number three. I honestly think it's going to be Wilson or Fields. And I just think my reasoning on this is, and I, you know, I don't know what conclusion they're going to come to, is I think Wilson would be the better option if the Steelers were closer to winning. But, you know, my takeaway from the way that season ended is they're not close at all, guys. They're certainly not close on defense. And then you look at that receivers room, you know, they're going to lose Najee here. You look at the uncertainty at quarterback. I just don't think they're close at all. And I think you might as well build with a young guy. I think there's, 10 years difference between Justin and Russ. Go with the young guy. He can be your bridge guy. And then, you know, hopefully find your next franchise quarterback in the draft in the next year or two.
Ray, are you getting the sense in that building, more so than just your personal thought, that they are leaning Justin Fields more so than Russell Wilson? Or do they want to wipe the slate completely clean?
No, I don't think they want to. I think they want one of those two guys to come back, and I still think they're in the process of discussing that. They're trying to figure out the best way forward. You know, listen, Russ behind. We all know, like, Russ can run a little bit, but he can't run like he did 10 years ago. So when your offensive line breaks down behind you, that affects a guy like Russell Wilson. Justin Fields can maybe, you know, alleviate some of those pressures. Now, will the Steelers offensive line be better next season? Yeah, they hope, but we've kind of been saying that for how many years now, that the offensive line would improve. So, yeah, Father Time is going to come back. Theoretically, they should be better at protecting the quarterback, but I don't know. At some point, guys, you just got to get younger, identify a guy, and then try to go forward and build your roster out that way.
Ray, something you said there, it takes me back to the assistant coaches and the whole idea, like, well, they have 1 year left on their contract, so they probably won't go anywhere. What is their resistance in doing that? I know it means they have to pay a guy to sit at home, but so what? Like, yeah. Pat Meyer is clearly not working as the offensive line coach because, as you said, we've been telling ourselves for the last couple of years now, this offensive line will be better. It'll be good, even. And beyond a few bright spots here and there, like Zach Frazier, for instance, McCormick, you know, playing better than most people expected, it hasn't been.
Yeah. Well, before I answer your question, let me just say this about Pat. I don't think anyone was questioning last year when he was brought back, when he signed that new deal. If you remember, they came up from, like, what, 27th to 16th in rushing. You know, Broderick Jones had a good year. And then this year you have all those injuries. And believe me, I'm not defending Meyer, but you have all these injuries that happen early in the season. You lose your best offensive lineman basically in week two. James Daniels, I think, is done for the season 2 weeks later. So, you know, you're kind of plugging in with guys. You know, Broderick didn't take that next step. So, I mean, I get it. Everyone wants blood. But I don't think a lot of people were upset when Pat Meyer came back last season. Now, as far as why don't the Steelers do it, I mean, the Rooneys obviously have money, but they don't have, like, oil money or Amazon money to throw around. So I think they're just very judicious in how they spend their money. And I don't know how much, you know, Austin or Meyer's making, but let's say it's $2 million for Austin and $1 million a year for Meyer. They don't really, you know, they don't want to throw around $3 million, you know, for guys not to coach. So that's basically, you know, where they're coming from.
Ray, we played a game of cut them, trade them, sign them, extend them, or ask them to take a pay cut, what have you. What would you do with George Pickens and Minkah Fitzpatrick in that type of situation?
Yeah, I got a piece coming out on Sunday. You guys copied me. What's going on?
That was Donnie's fault.
Cut keeper trade is coming, published on Sunday in the Post-Gazette. With Pickens, I think you got to trade him. You know, I just think he might be more trouble than he's worth. I don't know that they're going down that road. I think those are going to be discussions here before March gets here. And Minkah is a really interesting, discussion. He's a $22 million cap hit. He hasn't produced to the contract. So, do you eat all kinds of dead money? I think they would be responsible for north of $15 million in dead money if they cut him. That's something that they usually don't do. As I pointed out in my story, the last time they really cut a star player with two or more years remaining on the contract was 2014, when they dumped Lamar Woodley with 3 years left. And there were all kinds of issues with Lamar. He was hurt all the time. You know, there were questions about his work ethic. You don't really get that with Minkah. You know, Minkah is mostly available. Work ethic, really, I don't think is an issue with him. So you would really be walking away from that or cutting him really strictly because of on-the-field performance. And they usually don't go down that road. So I will say keep him, but I understand that discussion for sure.
Well, what about the discussion around T.J. Watt? Because it's mighty interesting. Here's a guy who is banged up these past few years by the end of the year. He's played his heart out here. And he's due for a new contract. If you look at Steelers history, he's going into the final year of his deal, Ray. So are they going to pay him $100 million again? What are they going to do, and what would you do with T.J.?
Yeah, I think you sit down with T.J. I mean, I don't think he has to be the highest paid defensive player in the league anymore. He's going to be age 31 next October, I believe. So you would be paying him, you know, theoretically for age 31, 32, 33 seasons. And, you know, I think you're still going to pay him a nice penny, but, you know, maybe somewhere in that 27, 28 range rather than, you know, the 30 a year that he's getting now. So I still think he's a really good player. He takes care of himself, but I don't think you want to throw around Joey Bosa money or whoever is, whoever has surpassed him in the last couple of years. It just doesn't make sense to do that given his age.
Ray, what would the offer have to be to knock your socks off for Watt to move on there?
So you mean for him to?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say from another team. Sorry.
Oh, from another team. Oh, yeah. Well, they're not in that position yet because he's got another year. But, I would say $28 million is probably as far as I would go. Listen, maybe Omar.
No, I meant more so another team wants to trade for him.
I don't think. I think he's a one helmet guy, just like Hayward. But yeah, I mean, I'll play the game. I'll say two ones.
If you could get two
compensation, but
would you think about that?
I would think about it, Joe. But I mean, he's going to be 31, and he's going into the last year of his contract. So obviously, a sign and trade there. So I would think about that. But I don't think TJ wants that, and I don't think the Steelers want that. So I don't know that it's going to happen.
Man, I'd think about that. Two number ones, if I could still get him, like Khalil Mack got when he was 27. I mean, you haven't won anything with him. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You just haven't won anything with him. But yeah, I agree. There's probably no chance that's going to happen. But I think something dramatic needs to happen. That's the other part of this, Ray. Who do you think if you had to guess a position right now in the draft, where will they go in the first round position-wise, and will they draft a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, they can go a number of different directions. I will say defensive line, cornerback, or receiver, Joe. I'd be okay with any of those. They're not going to be in position to draft a quarterback in the first round. I mean, maybe if you want to take a flyer on a guy second or third round, see if you can develop that guy, a la Jalen Hurts, like with the Eagles a couple of years ago. Maybe you do that. But I think this team, we saw in the playoffs, 299 yards rushing. The Ravens gashed them in the regular season, too. They need to beef up that defensive line. So I'd say go D-line first.
I don't know if I trust them to develop a young quarterback either. Do you, Ray? If they would get a guy in the second or third round?
Yeah, I mean, what was the situation with Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts was brought in there, and they had – did they still Wentz. Have Wentz at that point?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they still had Wentz at that point, but they moved off Wentz pretty quickly after that, and then Jalen was the guy. So
the Steelers drafted Chase Claypool instead.
Yeah, I know. And Sirianni's a pretty good offensive coach. I know he's got a lot of detractors out there in Philadelphia. I think he's a pretty good offensive mind. Listen, if Arthur Smith is going to be here, you got to trust that Arthur, can get that out of him. Arthur had Ryan Tannehill. What happened in Atlanta wasn't great, but that was never – he never really had a quarterback down there. So, listen, if you do draft a guy, you got to trust that Arthur Smith is going to be the guy to develop him because, let's face it, he's here for two more years unless he gets a head coaching job.
Donnie, do you mind if I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
Ray, this feels sad. It's our last free association game of the year. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Artie Smith gets a head coaching job.
No.
Terrell Austin gets replaced.
No.
The biggest coaching change will be at what position?
I mean, I'd be guessing, but obviously, I'll go a position coach on defense, just not the DC.
What percent of Ray Fittipaldo would like to see the Steelers completely tank, like the Penguins would have to get Mario or something like that, where they can announce their new quarterback at the draft in a couple years, they go with Skylar Thompson next year, they trade TJ? Is there any part of Ray Fittipaldo that would want them to do that?
Yeah, because I think we see what's happening. It's a hard cycle to get out of, so I'll say 20%.
Ben Skoranek's future, bright here or no?
I think he's got a chance to come back, yeah.
Donnie, I thought that would draw a laugh from somebody.
Ben Skoranek.
Yeah, so
he's a good special teams player.
I know he is. I love Ben Skoranek.
I don't have an issue with him on offense either. He's actually a pretty useful player on offense, just as a number five.
Or maybe a number eight. Yes. Cordarrelle Patterson. Is he back next year, Ray?
There's the laugh. No.
Over under five pitch outs to Cordarrelle if he does come back next year.
Over in the first game.
Over under 0.5 games where they bring him in when he's frozen late in the game and give him a pitch out.
Over.
How about him shoveling snow after the playoff game?
Was he?
He posted on Instagram, happy. I might as well shovel. I'm not going to get into the game because they didn't play him.
Oh, they didn't even realize he didn't get a snap.
He did not get a frozen toss.
Well, that's my next question for Ray. If Cordarrelle plays in that game, is it a win? Are they playing this week against the Chiefs?
No.
Connor Hayward's future. He's become a subject of some intrigue for people who don't really love that he lines up as a fullback sometimes. Is he coming back?
Yeah, last year was rookie contract. They're paying him nothing, so I'll say yeah.
Pat Freiermuth, give him a grade on the season.
B-. I think he's got to be a little bit more explosive when he's in the open field. I think he needs to get that first down there against Baltimore. So B-, C+.
If I told you next year's offensive line right to left will be Fotanu, McCormick, Frazier, Sayamalo, and Jones, would you say yes? That sounds about right?
Yes.
Would you be hopeful about that line, Ray?
I'd be cautiously optimistic if they stay injury-free.
Broderick Jones will have a decent career, a great career, or not be a starter in a couple of years.
Oh, decent or not be a starter. He's not going to have a great career. He grows up, he develops, matures, whatever word you want to say. I'll say decent. I don't think he's going to flame out.
Larry Ogunjobi will be back next year.
No.
That was a very forceful no, Ray.
They need to get young. Their entire defensive line, I think, is over 30, except for Benton and Loudermilk. They got to get rid of some of those guys.
Jeremiah Moon on the roster next year? I can't get a rise out of Donnie at all. I don't even think he's listening. Jeremiah Moon on the team next year?
Bad moon rising.
No.
Najee Harris, percent chance he's back?
7.
Who wins the Bills-Ravens game?
Bills.
Who wins the Super Bowl?
I'm going to stick with the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs.
Next year or decade, the Steelers win a playoff game. 2025, 26, 29. Do we go to the 2030s or the 2040s?
I'll say 29.
29. Thank you. I do have one question I had here written down. Yeah. Got a lot of these in my mailbag this week, and I honestly didn't have a good answer. Art the second, how much longer for him? In his role, Ray, and what's the succession plan?
Well, if he follows a similar path to his dad, I think Art took over for Dan when Dan turned 75. I want to say Art is 71 or 72. So, we've reported that Danny Rooney, young Danny, is going to take over, but I haven't heard that it's imminent. And, so if I had to take a guess, I would say, probably 2028, 2029, something like that, if Art steps away when he's 75.
Lastly, the future of Iku Liotta. Is he going to be back on the roster next year?
Who?
Come on, Donnie.
He's still on the roster.
Yeah, is he on the roster, Donnie? Iku Liotta?
He might be on the practice squad. He might be on the practice squad.
What about Ade?
Will he get elevated next year? Do you have the Ade and Iku quote there, Limits?
I think Ade was out of here like 6 weeks ago, Joe. Where have you been?
Ray, clearly not following him.
Ray, do you like the movie Forrest Gump?
If it's on a Saturday afternoon, I'll probably watch bits and pieces. Yeah.
You like the part when he teaches Elvis how to dance?
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Iko, man, who just got here.
What about the movie Million Dollar Baby? Joe hates that one.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
I've never seen Million Dollar Baby.
Save your time. Tom Hanks as an actor, big fan? Average fan, not a fan at all.
Yeah, I like Tom Hanks.
Favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Oh boy. What was the war movie where he was the sergeant?
Full Saving Metal
Private
Jack.
Ryan. No, Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
Saving Private Ryan. Yeah.
Thank you, Ray, and thanks a lot for everything this year. You were great as you always are. We appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Ray.
He's the best, isn't he? He truly is. I felt you drifted off at times.
So I was looking to see when you brought up Roderick Jones just to make sure that I was right. He is still younger than Troy Faltano.
He's younger than Kenny Pickett, too.
Yes,
course,
he is.
Of course, so is Ron. I don't know, Donnie. I can't get a rise out of you no matter what I do today.
What do you mean?
You're distracted like Ron is. I looked over during the interview and nothing. I got nothing over there.
A time or two when I was looking at guys' ages to confirm.
How about Julius Welshkoff? Is he coming back?
Who are you even talking about?
I don't know. I'm reading guys off the roster. Is there such a man? Limits?
There was at one point. I don't know if he still is on the roster. Maybe the practice squad.
If either one of you give me the college for Julius Welshkoff, I will treat you to a nice dinner.
North Dakota State.
Wrong.
Bowie State.
Charlotte. I think he may have even been Highsmith's teammate. Coming up next.
Maybe Larry Ogunjobi's teammate.
He might be next year. Back somewhere in college.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Saying goodbye to the Steelers of 2024. I love the music. I love the music bed underneath. I truly do. Usually Donnie and I are previewing a Steeler game when we go into the numbers game. Donnie, this is whatever we got here to sum up this season, good and bad, perhaps. Do you have a number?
I'll start with one from the previous game, 299.
Ooh.
The rushing yards allowed by the Steelers defense, and it would have been more if the Ravens didn't sit on the football at the end of that game.
That one hurts to hear. I got a number, 4. First team All-Pro nominations in his career for Cam Hayward. That's 4. And that goes with another number, which is 6. Only 6 players in the history of this fabled franchise have more first team All-Pros than Cam Hayward. Can either one of you guess who those 6 might be? I'll check them off as you get them.
Webster.
Yes.
Dermoni Dawson.
Yes.
Ham Lambert.
That's 4.
There's what, 2 more?
Yes, sir.
Joe Green?
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
Blunt?
Nope.
No, he was short.
I feel like we can get this.
I don't feel like Faneca had that many.
Yes, he did.
He did.
Yeah. Faneca, and there's one more. Might be the greatest athlete in the history of the Steelers. You could make that argument.
Rod Woodson?
Yes. Thank you, Limits. You two did very well. You got a number for me, Donnie? I was going to say Ronnie.
36. Not to be confused with Jerome Bettis.
Yes.
The number of receptions the Steelers got from their second wide receiver this season, Calvin Austin, 36 receptions.
Wow.
Even with Najee Harris, two fewer than Jaylen Warren. And George Pickens, the team's leading receiver, 59 catches. He didn't even lead the team. It was Pat Freiermuth with 65 grabs.
Amazing. And I'm glad you mentioned Najee because my number is 2.77. You know what that is, Donnie?
A yards per carry number of some sort?
Career in the playoffs, yards per carry for Najee, 2.77.
Ray gave him, what, a 7% chance? We can use that number,
that's 7%
a good number. Chance yeah. of Najee Harris coming back. I almost think that's generous, but it would be more so in a case of he gets nothing out there on the open market.
Yeah. So the number would be zero. Go ahead.
Me again here, Joe?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Najee again. 1,043. He hit the 1,000-yard mark, but I loved what Troy Aikman brought up game against Cincinnati a few weeks back, that final regular season game, because I do think it's relevant. Joe Buck brought it up, and Troy Aikman completely no-sold it, and he buried it, and he said, how important is that nowadays?
He said we need a new benchmark for running backs.
I think it's a fair argument to make because so many people love pointing to that and saying, well, he's one of the only running backs in history to do that. Four straight 1,000-yard
50-some yards a game.
Out of the gate. Okay, great. He's not a game changer.
108, that's career sacks for T.J. Watt. He needs only four to pass Aaron Donald, and he can move into the top 30 all-time next year.
41. The field goals made by Chris Boswell.
Ooh.
I know that you guys may have done your end of season MVP and LVP and stuff like that earlier this week. Listen, I don't care what people want to say that, you know, kickers shouldn't be eligible for that because it's not a real position. Chris Boswell was the MVP of this team. You can point to multiple games this season, Joe, where the Steelers do not win if it's not for Chris Boswell. He hit 93% of his field goals this year,
by the way. That's a good number, too. I got two of them. 73-0, Donnie. I think you know what that one is, right?
The first quarter scoring in the playoffs?
Of the last six games, the Steelers have been outscored 73-0. But I am sure glad that at the beginning of the show, we heard that quote from Tomlin that beginnings of the game don't really matter that much. Now, here it is. The beginnings of games don't really define games, Tomlin said. It's just the beginning. Well, you know when it does define a game? When you're getting outscored 73-0 in playoff games in the first quarter.
Another good coach cliche that somebody should throw right back at him is, well, you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can damn well lose it. They do that so often when they get into these playoff games. Zero. The amount of kick returns from the Steelers this season that went for touchdowns. We thought, a savvy move to bring in old Cordarrelle Patterson, one of the best kick returners in the game. I know the rules had a lot to go into play with that. They got nothing in terms of big play kick returns.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Nick Costo's going to break the games down next. It's a 2-minute warning for us, Donnie, a 2-minute drive. Let's go for it here. You ready? 13. Number of sacks in the past 28 games for Alex Highsmith.
How about zeros across the board? T.J. Watt in his last 200-plus snaps of the season. He had nothing statistically.
What?
For his last 200-plus snaps of the season. I believe Josh Rountree put it out there after the game.
Against horse follicles.
He initially had the number of snaps wrong because I think he did it before the game was officially over. But it was an assisted tackle later in the season.
One,
nothing across the board.
One turnover for Minka in the past 2 years. Let's
that
move
one
it,
always
Donnie.
Makes
we got to score
laugh.
A touchdown here. Let's go.
21, the number of unrestricted free agents the Steelers have. And I don't know if there are more than three guys I would bring back on that list, Joe.
5, the number of first picks they've used in a row on offense.
Roughly 3 million, we'll say. That was the number that Ray Fittipaldo also put out there and what the total is for guys like Pat Meyer and Terrell Austin. And he said the Steelers don't have oil money and can't pay around $3 million to have these guys sit at home. Well, they better learn to do that, because you can't simply just keep guys around because they have another year on their contracts. Hell, you know what team hasn't been afraid to do that? The Pittsburgh Pirates haven't been afraid to pay people while they sit at home.
23 sacks combined given up by our friends Dan Moore and Broderick Jones. Most in the NFL by any set of tackles.
I think that's a good one to end on, Joe.
I have two more. 8 years without a playoff win. 9 years since they've been competitive in a playoff game. I got to go with Donnie. Zeros across the board for TJ and over 200 snaps at the end of the year. Is that the best one, Limits?
I think 36, the number of receptions caught by Steeler wide receivers not named George Pickens, was the best.
That was a good one, too. Let us try to comprehend that other one, though. You're talking no tackles, no solo tackles,
I'm gonna find
no
Josh's
assists,
tweet, but
no sacks, no nothing. Just zeros across the board for TJ in his last 200-plus snaps. I mean, that is incredible, Donnie. Absolutely incredible.
He didn't have anything. It was one of their final games.
Cincy. He didn't have anything, but he did get robbed of a strip sack in that game, and he had six pressures, but pressures don't go on the stat sheet, at least not the conventional stat sheet. So I do hear what he's saying. Then he had zeros against Baltimore, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Donnie. That was a wonderful numbers game.